Brooklyn.
Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Back through the years, I go wandering once again. Back to the seasons of my youth. I recall a box of rags that someone gave us, and how my mama put the rags to use. There were rags of many colors.
What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
More regulation.
Emotional education.
And the war
libertarianism.
On drugs.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to What Would Save the World, as that fucking thing fucking just told you. Get your hot take. Get your hot take. Get your spicy, funky tweet off Insta fame or instant fame. So, like, what I've been... What?
Ow.
Insta fame?
Turned it up so loud.
Oh, your headphone. I'm sorry. So I'm here with Peter Solar, and hey, we are here in the studio. It's snowing out. People didn't want to come out because of the storm, and they're mostly people who like are not from New York, because people who are not from New York don't understand that it is so rare we actually have a storm. But at the same time, I like respect it, I guess, because it's like fucking the storm. Because New York is unpredictable at this point. You know, the weather's crazy. It's global warming, which is terribly named, where it's literally, like, just named so people won't believe it. So they can be like, it's cold.
Everything's closed.
Wait, you're on mic three? Talk.
I'm on, yeah, sorry. Yeah, shit. Oops. Yeah, I'm on mic three. Everything's closed.
Everything's closed. No, I don't. So whatever. So... I've just been having like this like really big issue with the internet. I think it brings out the worst in people, and I think it makes people stupid, and I think that it's making me fucking stupid. And I feel like it like honestly just like made me sick. Like I was thinking about the other day how we are like one of the first generations to grow up with the internet, really. Like there's a couple people like older than me and Peter who grew up with the internet, but like we were raised on
millennials.
Like, what?
Zenlennials.
Are we Zenlennials?
No, Zenlennials are the people that first grew up with the internet. We're millennials.
Zenlennials.
Zenlennials were born between like 75 and 85.
Yeah. So we grew up with like social media, and I'm like, what did this do to my brain? Like, look at you. Why are you like on your phone right now? Like, I don't.
That's where my fucking notes are.
Okay, that's good. No, I see. Like, I don't care that you're on the phone, but like, the scrolling thing is like super addictive.
So no, like my friend was telling me that their friend who's in prison right now for the past 10 years. No, fuck it. Full disclosure. They're like a well-known person. Jeremy Hammond, who's in prison right now. He's been sentenced for 10 years in 2012. And they're just telling him that like, you know, 2012, 2013 was like the cusp of which people started switching to smartphones and this weird like super internet.
And yeah, I don't think I had one until then.
He's never had a smartphone before. So, like, people don't understand. Like, trying to describe to him, like, that everyone's just on their phones all the time, he doesn't get it, you know?
He's like, what do you mean they're on their phones? Like, are they texting the whole time?
Is that
what
he's... No, exactly.
He's like, oh, like, teenagers...
He thinks that phone... Like, these aren't phones. These are fucking computers. I hate smartphones. They suck.
But we also love them. When you don't have yours, you feel anxious. You're like, how am I going to get food? How am I going to find the train?
These damn Gen Zers who fucking upset. Like, ooh, this is the greatest thing ever. It's like, yo, when I was your age, like, Bush was president and it sucked.
No, I think now people are trying to get their kids the dumb phones. Yeah. They have to get ones that look like the iPhone so their kid won't feel like they're not cool.
Oh, when it's like a basic fucking...
Yeah, they're like shaped like an iPhone or a smartphone, but all it can do is like text and call.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually was like, I should get one. I should get one. And like, get everybody in my Facebook Messenger's like number and call them from, and like text and call them and get the fuck off Facebook. Facebook makes me crazy. Okay, so like today, I'm on my fucking... my fucking thing. And I posted, you know, this RuPaul shit's happening. And I feel like I don't want to comment.
I don't want to talk about RuPaul.
I don't want to talk about RuPaul either.
Hot take.
But we have to talk about the hot takes. This is a good example.
Hot take.
Hot take, get a hot take here, get a hot take there, hey, hot dog, suck my dick, okay, suck my Facebook dick.
What did Ron Paul do?
Ron Paul said Ron Paul over and over and said, I'm a doctor. I just want to fucking like run for office and like totally get like trashed. But every time they ask me a question, be like, and I know this because I'm a communist. Like do it like Ron Paul, but because I'm a communist and just get booed. I really just want to run for office and get booed. Okay, so I've been like, I shouldn't comment on the RuPaul thing. I should comment on the RuPaul thing. And we're not necessarily going to comment on the RuPaul thing here. However, I made, you know, like a bunch of comments about gender and like, you know, all the fucking accesses to resources and all your typical like intersectional feminist like analogies of things, not analogies, like analysis of things, like where you look at something and you try to figure out who has more of a difficult time getting what they need and how to make those things better. And I also, you know, posted a little bit about my own experiences about feeling like forced to be masculine. And that's like it was like a side thing I was thinking about. And then I got somebody come on here and be like, what did they say? Some person I've like never met, or I met once and I almost like moved in with them. They said, no, never. I never feel that way. And I hope someone will start caring about men's rights too. Freaking men's discrimination. What the fuck is this? And then it became this whole conversation with this person I knew from Occupy Orlando of all places about like, or I'm like saying, well, look, she's like, you care a lot about race and gender. And I was like, yeah, because it's, you need to acknowledge that to analyze who has access to, it's relevant to economics and access. And she was just like, I would say this is true if you allow it to be. The world will only change when you change your perspective. Maybe you could affect more change if you saw through the eyes of your enemy. And I'm just like, it's just a fact that race and gender are relevant to how people have access to resources. And that is the fact. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. Now I'm like, oh, insecure about it. I'm like, wait, maybe that's not true. Maybe that doesn't play a role. But it does. And you can literally find things about this. Reparations were never paid, blah, blah, blah. And then she just became like, where are you finding this? What about people here? What about princes in Saudi Arabia? They're not white. And I'm like, okay, that's Saudi fucking Arabia and your exceptions don't affect. Anyway, see here, now I'm falling into it. I'm defending it. The point I'm making here is like clearly, like it's like making me sick. Like this shit, like why am I fighting with this chick I met in Orlando like fucking 6 years ago on Facebook economics? Like why am I doing this? I think the internet made me fucking sick. And I think our children's books will just be a link to the now defunct Twitter. Hopefully by then we will have decided to kill it. We will go the fuck outside and learn how to talk to each other again. And I feel like
delete the website, Jack.
Yeah, delete the website. And I feel like history teachers will sigh and be like, nobody really did understand what's happening at the time. We were all just typing on a screen that sent ourselves back to us. So I wrote this article just like in like a miserable moment called The Internet Made Me Sick. You can find it on Medium at Took Edalow, TOOKEDALOW. And I was talking about just like Facebook and all these things I've learned to sell the internet to us. Like, I feel like okay, so there was this program that they talk about in the Adam Curtis documentary, Hypernormalization. And it's like a computer program. This is before the internet. Where people, I mean, the internet probably existed, but it wasn't available.
What year?
Like, I don't know.
What decade?
Probably like the 80s.
Yeah, okay. The internet existed.
The internet existed, but people didn't really have that much access, did they?
No.
Like, the internet didn't really become a thing until like the 90s, right?
Yeah. Late 80s.
Late 80s. Okay, but.
No, I'm learning a lot. I've been fucking someone who's 9 years my senior, and like, they're a Zenlennial, so I've been learning a lot about exactly where the internet formed.
Okay, when so like, when did people like get like dial up? When did people start to get it like in a large scale where it wasn't just like rich people who
90,
had it?
90.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. So like this program, I believe, you know, this program didn't really, I think it was before the thing, you know? It was before people really got the internet. So people weren't predisposed to it before they saw this program. So this program, what it would do, it was like a therapy talking. It was programmed to like would say like hi, and you say hi, and it'd be like, how are you? I'm doing well. What did you do today? You know, it was like very like, it was like an early smarter child. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, if anybody doesn't know, it was like Instant Messenger used to have these bots that you could message. They were kind of like an early version of Siri, but just through Instant Messenger. But yeah, so you could be like, yeah, I've like, been thinking about my dad. And they'd be like, how do you feel about your dad? And it would just keep asking them about their lives. And people would just like sit there and do it for like hours. Like people loved it.
Like Movie Phone from AIM.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it was just like, people just tell them exactly what they want. A movie phone? Yeah, is that where you can
remember
email?
Movie phone?
Where you can email the movie?
Yeah, yeah. There's like a bot on the AIM shit called Movie Phone. And you ask it, what are good movies playing? It'll tell you. And you can try to have conversations with it, but usually it just responds with a movie suggestion.
Oh my God, I wonder what it would say about Black Panther.
My God, I think, didn't AIM got deleted like a year or two ago, right?
Yeah. No, like very recently.
Yeah.
I think it was like this year. Wait, when did AIM get deleted? Yeah, so people would get really into it. And yeah, it got discontinued in December. So, but people need to understand, not that program, AIM, Instant Messenger. But
the other one, the bot one.
The bot one, the original smarter child. What started to happen, but I think Facebook and Twitter and all that shit has figured out exactly what to send back to us. And Facebook specifically, like, has ad, like, okay, let me go in here. Let's see what ads I get on Facebook right now. So just giving you back what you want to get, pretty much. It's telling me, like, if you think something, you're very rarely going to see anything outside that bubble. Like, for example, I the only reason why on YouTube I get mad right-wing, like, trash, because I watch so much bad right-wing videos to figure out how to argue with these people correctly, that, like, I got, like, fucking, I get, like, Ben Shapiro pops up. I get I get, what's her name? I get, what the fuck is that girl's name? Blair White. I get Blair White. And then I get like this like girl, shoe on a string or some shit, or shoe on her head. And she's just like this like early 20s girl who's like, yeah, I'm left wing, but I'm embarrassed by you people. And she just like hates everybody who's actually left. She's like a Democrat. Anyway,
I'm a Democrat, but.
Yeah, I'm a Democrat, but yeah, exactly one of those. So I just like, I get all that shit on YouTube. I get so much of that shit. But on Facebook, I get Trump spiritual advisor Paula White suggested people send her their January salary or face consequences from God. So that's like makes the administration look terrible. So I'm going to get something that tells me to hate Trump, and I do hate Trump. I'm going to still hate Trump, but then I get a grocery bags and takeout containers aren't enough. It's time to phase out all the single-use plastic. I'm going to get like all like lefty shit. These are the articles that people, that my friends have shared, but the ones that they've chosen to show me. Am I not getting any ads? Oh, here we go. So then here, unapologetically bold and colorful, photographer Chen Man's portraits disrupted the China's fashion industry and put contemporary Chinese beauty in the spotlight. I think that's like pretty, they would probably give me this. Because I've been posting about like RuPaul and different like beauty shit, beauty standards. That's a little different than what I would expect. But you know, like I get ads for like protests from people that I never knew.
Yeah.
I get like ads. Oh, here we go. I got an ad for the death of Stalin.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Steve Buscemi's in it.
We all got Death of Stalin because we're all fucking weirdos.
Yeah,
because
we talk about tankies all the time, and I'm like, Stalin apologist.
I think I got Death of Stalin because I have a In the Loop, which was the same director made that movie.
The what?
In the Loop was based off a British comedy, which is the same type of like shtick. It was like a parody of like the Iraq War leading up to it. And like I got that because I think I had that listed in like my favorite movie section. So like they're giving you shit of like directors' movies that you've already done and shit like that. For me, I see a lot of lefty, like the only it seems like DSA and J20 stuff is like always talked about because of like all the lefty shit I see on my feed. But then when I go talk to like my liberal friends and like people part of like normie society, they never heard of any of this shit, and I'm just like, how do you, I don't get it.
Don't you see it on Facebook?
Exactly.
And it's like, no. And that's the thing.
So what are they getting? They're getting fed like fucking like Resistance Report by Robert Reich?
Yeah, I mean, they're probably getting like Rachel Maddow. Yeah. They're getting like CNN. They're getting like more mainstream media.
Who watches? Who under the age of like 52 watches that shit?
People, like, and then then there's people who are gonna get Democracy Now type shit, which is like
that's
DSA Democracy Now. Those people are all right.
That's Democracy Now is like entryism to our shit, though.
Yeah, I should say for people. Yeah, I'm actually thinking we should legit join the DSA.
No, yeah, I've been thinking about it.
We should join the DSA.
I met with John Michael Cologne last night at a bar.
Are we going to get him to come on the show?
Yeah, no, he was like all about it. I was like,
oh, fuck yeah.
He's like, I can't wait to talk. Yeah.
What are we going to talk about?
God, like everything.
We're going to talk about libertarian socialist shit.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the libertarian socialist caucus.
Oh, God. Okay, this is what we do. We got to get him and then we can. Okay, so I should say that I went on Jake Flores' podcast. If you heard us last week, you can also hear that. Like, I'm going to upload it, I guess, like now when we're on the show. The episode we did about the DSA with him, with Jake Flores. He's a comedian. You can follow him on Twitter at Feral Jokes. I just did his podcast with this other guy on his show. Also, Anders Lee. I think they're the co-host. Pod Damn America. It's called Pod Damn America. I was on it. Anders Lee is going to come on next week, and we should try to get him with this other guy. Because Anders Lee is in the DSA and does this show at... It's not at Star Bar this month. It's not at Star Bar. It's at other places sometime. Here, let me figure it out. I don't want to pitch this terribly. Here, it's called Paid Protest, though. And it gives money to the DSA. It's at Verso Books on Saturday, March 31st. So he's going to be coming on next week. So we should try. Oh, and he's got David Spector on that show. Everybody, David Spector is a good comedian and he's a good kid. I hate a lot of comedians.
So that actually means a lot coming from you.
What? That doesn't make a lot. It means a lot coming from me. So David Spector is a good kid. David Spector is a good kid. You should go see that show. Anyway, so we should get him and we should get the Libertarian Socialist Caucus, the DSA. Are we just going to have another DSA episode, though? No, let's not have them on
No. We'll have them on, but we're not going to... We'll be like...
We can't talk about the DSA. Oh, that's so funny. Like, we're not... We're going to join him, but we can't talk about the DSA. I mean, you can pitch your show and whatever.
I just want to know... The thing about what I learned about the DSA is it's pretty much like the Big Ten... collective bullshit that all the lefties decided to like join because it was like the big thing.
It's the lefty.
I just want to know.
Lefty fraternity.
Yeah.
It's a fraternity.
I just want to know what the hell people's different takes on shit is. You know.
Yeah. I want to hear their hot takes.
I'm glad. Like the number of DSA people that know about like Antifa shit and anarchist stuff is pretty good, and I like that. I'm glad that they are aware of this. You know.
Yeah.
I just want their takes on shit because like. I have like a rule about like to see if like certain media is like bullshit conspiracy or like fucking tanky or like fascist is it's called the Antifa test. As in like if you look at like the general articles or takes about Antifa that come from a certain media source, if they're generally negative or conspiratorial or fucking like wing nutty, then you can safely say that media source is full of shit. So like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. SoundCloud is like not letting me sign in right now.
Oh no, you're gonna have to wait till after.
No, I want to know why the fuck.
No, you got to do it now because we're gonna get like hammered after this and fucking forget about it.
Are we getting hammered after this? Like, what the fuck? Like I'm saying, like what the fuck is it doing? I don't understand. I'm super angry right now. All right, let's play a song because this is gonna make me really mad. All right. All right, so what are we going to play? Tell me a song. Give me a song. What am I playing? Peter.
Play some Mischief Brew.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to play Thanks, Bastard.
Oh, no.
Mr. Officer Great, for all the things you said to me, for all the good that you have ever done. Without you, what would I be? Oh, the gas upon my flames, my love and rage, I'll roll up into one. For every time your gun goes off, a new rebel is born. So when there's 41 bullets, it's 41,000 thorns in your side. We'll take a ride down to Precinct 29, and we'll sing and dance and break the code of silence. La-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
This is such crust punk shit. I feel like I could just like hop on a freight train and just have some dude covering this, and I would think it was like magical because I wouldn't know it was a cover. Do you know what I'm talking about? I feel like at Occupy, because I knew nothing about like crust punk culture other than I can't hear you. You're not talking into your mic.
It's such a good. Oh, are we commenting on this?
Yeah, we are commenting on this.
Oh, okay. It's hard for me to know when we're on air or not. Oh. Yeah, this is all like. This is fucking stupid, man. Like, I just. This is like the shit I listened to back in the day because, like.
You're like, fuck the police.
It's fun. No, it's just like. It makes me hate this now because, like, I know people that are still into this shit.
But this like Wingnut Dishwashers Union.
Yeah, people who are either like well that are like well into their 30s that are still into this shit are fucking 20 somethings and younger who are just getting into this shit, and I'm like all about this like, yo man, the folk punk era is like past. It's dead. It died with Eric Peterson when he fucking killed himself, and it died with Pat the Bunny when he fucking quit music.
No, so we're like, we gotta laugh at like the privileged ass shit of Wingnut Dishwashers Union. Here we go. This is my idea of fun. Oh my god. No, one time I listened to it thinking it was good, like remembering it from like Occupy days, and I was like, whoa, this is bratty. I hated it. By the way, you're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. My name's Duke Edelo. I'm here with my co-host, Peter Solar.
Hi, I'm Peter Solar. You're listening to the radio.
I'll run away from every home I ever have. So I'll build a new house in every town I pass.
Okay, it makes me nostalgic.
Maybe then I won't always feel lost and trapped.
No, I feel... I feel...
When I was growing up, I was the smartest kid I knew.
See, like, what?
Maybe that.
No, I internalized that. In 2012, when I was blasting this, I was like, yeah, I'm the smartest person.
All I know is now I feel the opposite.
Yeah, good.
No, the thing about Pat the Bunny, he's very self-reflective.
That's who he is.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want to work, then that becomes your job. There's a lot of overtime. There's not.
What about the workers' revolution?
I hope you know that I'm not trying to complain. It just gets hard to explain to people that I know or the kids who come to shows that I don't want to talk about the office today.
And the kids who come to shows, that's my favorite part.
Oh my god.
And the kids who come to shows.
Cause I've watched friends go from being pessimists to work at home archaeologists. They dig skin deep, they work hard every day. I'm burying their arms for a vein or two that maybe they forgot.
Yeah, that's not funny. That part's not
no,
funny.
No, it's fucked
and the
up.
Cops say it's a crime for people like me and those friends of mine to want to die. Like my neighbor in St. Pete.
This is like political emo.
No, see, basically, Pat the Bunny is critiquing the whole folk punk. He's like the Bob Dylan of folk punk. As in, like.
No, Bob Dylan. Hey. Okay, so here's how I feel about Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan's an amazing musician. Bob Dylan was not punk.
No. Bob Dylan was the folk, but Bob Dylan wrote Maggie's Farm as a critique of the folk movement, and this is the same type of thing. This is like the Maggie's Farm of folk punk in the sense that Pat the Bunny is critiquing how everyone in the late 2000s and early 2010s, part of this fucking like crust punk fucking dropout bullshit movement, which characterized Occupy and later movements, that... Oh, we're just going to be pessimistic nihilists and fucking become heroin addicts. And it was bullshit. And, like, he himself was a heroin addict, Pat the Bunny. And he got himself out of that. And then he decided to quit music and all that shit. And, like, we gotta understand, like, we because of all this Trump shit, everyone's been wanting to go into nostalgia era phases. So, like, we totally long back to, like, oh, remember the early part of this
Remember decade? Berries. Remember Berries.
Remember? remember? And I'm just like, no, man. It's like, we're now, it's 2018. This is now the late 2010s. It's going to be the 2020s soon. We got to start coming up with new fucking shit.
Maybe and we like, can't. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's like all over. No, we have to have it. A show with, you know, Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg.
I'm done with these fucking 20-year-olds. Yeah, I'm calling out people that might be listening to the show. I'm doing you fucking 20-year-olds blasting against me still.
Who's blasting against me? Nobody's blasting against me.
Fucking... Baby, I'm an anarchist. Like, fuck that song. That's such a Bush era bullshit. Like,
I never heard any of this shit.
We're done with that. But
no,
we're done
I never.
With that.
I knew when we Dishwashers Union.
Yeah, but all that's dead. It's all dead. It's all dead.
I used to fuck this dude at Occupy named Pigpen, and we used to fucking. Yeah, we used to fucking fuck at Occupy, and he was like, I'm polyamorous, which to him meant I don't like anybody and nobody's my girlfriend, which is different than a lot of people's version of polyamory.
He's polynihilist.
Polynihilist, yeah. And I was polyglamorous, and we one time laid in bed all day, and we did a bed-in for peace at Occupy, like idiots. Oh God, it was embarrassed. I should be like embarrassed about that. But then he used to play me like Wingnut Dishwashers Union, and then like years later I played it and I like made fun of it, but I don't know which one I listened to that made me laugh. But yeah, like that got like super serious and it put stars in my eyes, and I don't like that it put stars in my eyes because I was a piece of shit during Occupy. Like that's what I finally made a SoundCloud for this show. You can check it out at podomatic.com or you know what would save the world.podomatic.com, and you can also find it on soundcloud.com/whatwouldsavetheworld. I finally put it on SoundCloud, and what was I gonna fucking say about that? Fuck! I wrote that this is like ex Occupy crusty fuck like political theory talk therapy.
Post Occupy. Post Black Lives Matter. Post anti Trump. We got to move beyond all of it.
Wait, what? You can't say that.
We have to move beyond all of it.
You can't say post Black Lives Matter. You sound like a fucking idiot. You don't get to decide when Black Lives are finally mattered enough that
no,
you can stop saying it.
Well, the same thing with you look at this stuff in terms of movements and eras. It's like the goals of Occupy were never realized. The same with all the other movements of this fucking
decade. Yes, they did get realized. They became those movements.
Yes, and it's a continuous fucking thing. And now,
yeah, but I'm saying you don't get to say when the age of Black Lives Matter is over.
Fair enough, but I'm just saying we got to fucking come up with new shit because we're fucking stuck in this rut. And now, like Chapo Trap House became popular because it was like a fucking shitstorm at the time, and those guys didn't even know they were gonna fucking do what the hell they do. But we live in a weird, shitty timeline where Chapo Trap House became the new Daily Show. So we got to think about what's the next Daily Show, what's the next Chapo? Because that's the fucking Overton window that we have to deal with at this point.
I mean, I don't give a fuck about comedy podcasts, including ours. We're just having a good time. What I'm talking about is, like, I want to get off the fucking internet. I want to get off the internet. I think this is so unhealthy. Like, I scroll at Facebook, and I'm on here for, like, 25 fucking minutes. And I'm like, where did all the time go? Where did it go? I've just been scrolling.
I know, it's already March 7th.
And scrolling. What?
It's already March 7th.
Yeah, referencing my Twitter. But yeah, it's painful. Like, I don't get anything done. I can see when somebody's typing. Like, right now, on somebody else's status. Somebody says, I'm feeling feelings. And then other people are typing. And I can see it. And I can wait for it to appear. And when I'm politically fighting, I can see it. I'm like, oh, what are they typing? I bet they're going to say something good. I can fight with them. I'm like, what a motherfucking waste of time.
Red numbers.
Nobody has ever changed their... Somebody told me, oh, nobody's ever changed their mind from somebody having an emotion. I'm like, maybe in person they have, but not on the fucking internet. I'm sure there are people whose minds have been changed on the internet. My mind's been changed on the internet. But it's such a rarity that it is a waste of time. Nobody's mind gets changed from a Facebook comment. You could maybe change somebody's mind with a video that you post on the internet. But I say in this piece also on Medium called The Internet Made Me Sick. You can also find me on Twitter at 2KEDALOW.
Wow, you're so promoting yourself.
I'm going to promote you in a minute, too. Okay. 2KEDALOW, and you can find Peter at Solar Power. That's S-O-E-L-L-E-R, Power. And he posts some really good protesty shit.
Oh, yeah. I'm covering tomorrow is the International Women's Strike again, and I'm going to cover that. It's in Washington Square Park at, like, 5. I don't fucking
What are you covering it for?
Just for my Twitter.
You should cover it for your Twitter, and we should interview people for the show.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah.
Okay, so tune in next week. That's what we're talking about. We're gonna talk about the women's strike with these two dudes from the DSA.
Yeah. We should invite them on. We should tell them that we're going to do like an episode. You get to give your pitch about like what you want to talk about, but like in actuality we're just going to like prevent them from talking about what they want to talk about and instead get them to talk about the women's strike.
They might be listening to this.
Yeah, probably. Yo, JMC might actually, because I just saw him last night and we talked about it.
No, he's sleeping. Yeah, any reasonable person who got drunk with you last night is still sleeping. but what the fuck were we talking about? This article, internet made me sick, that I wrote. Self-promoting. Lick my pussy. Oh, wait, can I tell this?
Time. Okay, yeah, it's so time. We've been talking about, like, people fucking, and we're fucking other people and all the people we've other fucked, but little do we know, our listeners, do they know this, that me and Took used to fuck.
They definitely know this. Like, everybody knows they used to fuck.
We used to
and
fuck.
And it was, like, the worst sex.
Yeah, no, it was, this was, like, post-J20, like Took's going through shit, I'm going through shit, like we just started fucking to like deal with each other's trauma.
So, you loved me. I thought you really liked me. No, Peter would be like,
I loved you so much that I did this incident that Took is about to describe to you.
Oh my god, I don't know if you love me. I think this was just you being like sexually like repressed and like weird. So Peter sits down. Well, wait, we have to build up.
Yeah.
So, you know, we used to fuck and like, we would like try to have sex and it just like would never work. So we would end up in these like positions that like nobody has sex in. Like, do you remember like that?
Like, okay. She can't come, I can't get hard, and we end up just crying for 20 minutes.
And I'm like mostly gay. Like, I still want to fuck a dude here and there, but like I'm mostly gay and I'm like, I don't know, Peter. I don't understand why nobody can make me come. It's like, no shit. It's like, because like you think that dudes are like semi-gross. Like I noticed that like most of the dudes I've ever dated kind of look like women.
Yeah.
Like they're like pretty. Like if I ever tried to do a dude with a beard, they've got like pretty eyes. It's like, oh. But it's like, but other than that, but Peter's got mad like femme energy, because when we would do is we'd end up on our sides and like we would like fuck in like these weird positions where it was like bit stomach to stomach but on your side. Like that's such a hard way to fuck. Like like I don't know why we decided to fuck that way when we like really couldn't fuck. That's like the funniest thing about this. But and I would be like, oh, Peter would be like,
and we would like make fun of each other's curly.
Like, while we're having sex. Yeah, yeah. So Peter one time sat down on my bed after crying, after he cried, and like Peter would look at me, I'd be like talking about something, he'd look at me and go, do you think so and so hates me? And then he makes fun of me for texting him at 4 a.m. Do you hate me?
Do you hate me?
But yeah, Peter sat down on my bed and picked up my dirty dildo and started licking it and making weird noises. And like maybe got turned on by it. I don't know.
I was having trouble getting my dick up, which I've had trouble getting my dick up for like the better part of like 2 years now. So like, I fucking.
Do you need to balance your dick chakras?
So like, this was one method that I thought maybe would work. So I fucking throated a dildo and.
Yeah, you threw it in a dildo and it probably worked and you probably got hard for 5 seconds and then I probably like sucked your dick because I felt bad for
you. It's funny, I get hard not touching shit, but then once someone touches my dick, I guess. it's like the opposite of what's supposed to happen.
Like you need to bite. Oh my god, Peter.
Oh no.
You're a girl.
That's transphobic.
Is it?
I don't fucking know.
But I thought, I mean... But aren't you like genderqueer or something?
Yeah.
So.
Hey, but yeah, I changed my Facebook pronouns to they, them, so that's to mean something.
I haven't changed my pronouns. I'm like, definitely like something, but like, I just don't have the time.
You're queer adjacent.
Am I queer adjacent? Is that a fucking thing? Oh, that's like offensive.
It's offensive.
Queer adjacent. Anyway, so. We need to get off the fucking internet and we actually need to go out and do things and stop scrolling fucking Instagram and Twitter.
Scrolling. I deleted my Instagram.
You deleted your Instagram. I'm so proud of you. So, but also like there's this whole thing now where people, it's like, don't debate with people you don't agree with. But what we're saying is don't debate with Nazis. Like I'm saying that like debating people on Facebook is never, ever going to change their mind. And I think that it's ruined debate forever. Like, I feel like I sound like a liberal when I say this. Like, I don't agree with going and like debating Richard Spencer at a college. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about like people who are not like leaders of that movement. Like people who are like just kind of there and are starting to get like, you know, sort of like converted into the horror that is white supremacy. Like, if you have the time, it doesn't have to be your job. Okay. But like, I think that people would do a better job converting them without the internet, like converting them away from that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, like, I think that men's rights activists, don't cough it into the mic. You just like cough like into the mic. So men's rights activists, like I'm pretty sure they only see their shit. What the fuck is wrong with you? Shut the fuck up.
Say your shit.
Oh God. They only see their own shit. So they're never going to, because men's rights activists, I don't know if you know about them. They have like their own subreddit on Facebook. They probably have their own shit on Facebook and they only see stuff that corresponds to their beliefs. But they believe that like they're like oppressed by feminism, and it's not even like they don't have like some good points. Like they have points about circumcision, about custody rights, about other shit. But they feel like feminism itself is like oppressing them, which is just incredibly unhelpful. Like, I'm tired of people being like, oh my, like, I'm tired of like fucking like white poor people being like, you're saying that black poor people have a hard time. Like, why can't you be saying that I have a hard time? Yeah. It's like, no one ever said you're not having a hard time.
Speaking of circumcision, remember that other time we had sex and my foreskin retracted and it wouldn't go back afterwards?
Oh my God.
And I was stuck like that for like 2 hours.
Were you losing your mind?
Yeah, I was like, oh my God.
You were like, what if I broke my dick?
Okay, yeah. But no, seriously. But men's rights activists suck, and because they're anti-feminist, and it's just gender reactionary fascist bullshit.
Yeah.
And the things they are bringing up that they try to like have like legitimate criticism of is like, it's like, if you're a true men's rights activist, you want to care about men's issues, you should be talking about like the amount of rape in prisons toward men, how men are treated and dismissed, how their emotions are dismissed, how their the toxic masculinity, the expectations that are put on men to like take charge and do certain things and like have the right idea of how to go about saying, it's like, it sucks, you know? And it also, that's what leads into this culture sometimes, and people fucking snap and shoot up their schools. Like,
well, yeah, I mean,
we already did that last.
Let's not talk about that, which I actually have a lot of feelings about that. Last time we talked about it, I don't feel like we really addressed the issue that it's assault rifles. I actually agree we should ban assault rifles from everyone. We should just stop selling them. But I mean, but let's just move on. I might not be, you know, saying this right. So I'm going to post on the internet, call in now.
Why you hate the internet. Yeah.
If anybody wants to call in, you can call in to 718-928-9732. 718-928-9732. If you're listening and you have some shit you want to say, please call in. We're here for another 20 minutes. We didn't get a guest because it's snowing. So if you want to,
Scrolling. I am Facebook scrolling.
I am Facebook scrolling. So yeah, I think that what I would like to do, and I know they do this in like the DSA, and I know they do this in like large things. Like, they talk about actions and they talk about protests and stuff, and they do this stuff in real life. But what I would like is like something that's not necessarily like a political party, like something that's like where we just meet up like once a week and try to talk in person. And anybody who's just literally has the belief that they want to make the world a better place is welcome. I mean, we will not take hate speech. We will not take like white supremacist shit. But, you know, like, we could take, I don't really care what you call yourself. Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't like people who like live by their like political identity, who say shit like, you know, as an anarchist,
I'm like that, and you're like that.
No, I'm not. I hate people who say that.
Am I like that?
No, you're not.
I am.
You're more of like a parody, though.
Am I a parody?
Do you actually like seriously introduce yourself as an anarcho-matriarchal, anarcho-communalist?
Sometimes. But like, that's seriously what I believe, but I rarely say it like...
Like that. No, like, you know what? People be like, try to dismiss certain like things. Like, oh, as an anarchist.
Well, as an anarchist, I hate Marxist-Leninism.
Oh my God, these fuckers. I remember this conversation. My friend was telling me about, like, they're talking to this anarchist commune, or not a commune, like a co-op house. And the guy was going out of town for like a few months, and then they asked him, like, oh, you're going to sublet it? He's like, I'm an anarchist. We don't believe in subletting. Like, shut the fuck up. Like,
you don't believe in what?
I'm an anarchist. We don't believe in subletting. And it's like, shut the fuck up. Like,
yo, I wish June could call in.
Okay, I'm making a new rule. Also, SpongeBob memes. New rule: SpongeBob memes should only come from pre-season 4. So anything after that is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Because who the hell watched SpongeBob after fucking 2003?
Like, I mean, we should watch some old episodes. Oh my God, are there SpongeBob songs on fucking other SpongeBob songs?
Oh God, no! Play the fucking play the Krusty Krab is Unfair Trap remix. Just type that on YouTube.
Wait. It's not on. Okay. Fine.
Krusty Krab is Unfair.
Krusty Krab is Unfair.
Trap remix. I think it's by like Panda Remix, whatever. You know, they all, the trap artists. All
have, it's called Krusty Krab is Unfair Remix.
Yeah.
This?
Yeah.
I'm so scared.
Wait for it. Wait for it.
Wait, hello? Did somebody just call in?
Who is this? This is Ricardo. I'm just calling in to say taxation is theft.
Oh my God. Wait. Oh my God. Did Ricardo Valle just call into the show?
Wait, this is Ricardo Valle? Yep.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Wait, Peter. Shh.
All right, hold on. I gotta get away from where I'm standing because it's kind of loud in here. Hold on.
Oh my God. Oh my God, Ricardo Valle. Okay, Ricardo, you're a celebrity among the anarchists.
Okay, I highly doubt it for good reason, but okay, I'll take it.
Okay, so we gotta give some context real quick.
Yeah.
So everybody, Ricardo Valle is my resident, like, libertarian on my Facebook, and, like, we love him, but, like, people fight with him, and Peter has been... I'm gonna kind of sit back. So, Ricardo, you say taxation is theft, right?
Right.
Okay, Peter, go.
Yeah, okay, how is, if tax, like, you only care about, like, one fucking thing. It's like, it's always, like, one bank, like the Federal Reserve, or one form of theft, which is taxation. You don't really seem to consider that, like, fucking rent is theft, or bills are theft, or fucking just, like...
Well, how is rent theft? I never understood.
It's working
that.
Off the same logic as taxation.
So, what I want to know is, how do you think the owner of that property acquired that property?
How do I think the owner of that property acquired that property? I mean, I don't know. He might have bought it from somebody else. He might have inherited it. There's like so many ways. I can't, like.
Do you think that?
I don't know.
Do you think that a lot of people gain the resources they gain out of exploitation?
I don't know.
Do you think that, libertarians are always talking to me about voluntary labor, and I agree with that. Like, you know, there are people that I would voluntarily work under as my boss. For example, like, if I'm running a show with Chris Carr of Brooklyn Wildlife, just repping him, like, if he were running an event, I would voluntarily work at his event underneath him. Correct. And I know, but I would know where the money was going. I know the money would be going back to his art collective. Like, I would have some stake in, like, what was happening with the money. However, we live in a society where for some people, they do not have access to the education that will get them the high paying jobs. And therefore they have no choice other than to work under a boss that is going to take the majority of the fruits of their labor and pay them low income. And those are the kind of people on a large scale who own property, who get rent from people, who have no other choice. Do you think not really having another choice is a form of theft?
No, because I don't think, I feel like there's always another choice, and just because I can't pinpoint what that other choice may be doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
The only other choice is to fucking do black market shit and, like, you know, like...
Well, first of all, I think the black market is beautiful, but that's a different subject.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, the only other choice is to then do fucking, like, criminal shit, and that increases your risk of fucking violence and... The whole point is all of this stuff
But then the problem there is government. The problem there, you know, like, maybe we would have more choices if there were less government.
But do you think that corporations or people who have a lot of money and who have a lot of, do you think like individual people who have a significant amount of economic power become very similar to what libertarians and anarchists like to call the state?
I see. I think it's because of the state. I think the state enables that, because if it weren't for the state, there would be more competition, therefore less douchiness is what I believe.
You think that people wouldn't be like even more douchey? I say, I'm not like an advocate for the state. I'm an advocate for privately public. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think the big issue that I have with a lot of libertarianism, or what I hear people like, you know, right wing libertarians, I guess you could call me like a libertarian communist or some shit. But what I hear coming from a lot of, and by the way, communism is not inherently statist. Just have to put that out there. What I hear coming from a lot of libertarians is like a lot of intense individualism. Like if an individual worked this hard, they can have this, they can have that, they can have da 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 da. And like, I just feel like when one individual has too much power over some or over something, yeah, there can be competition, but I think that just like a libertarian, you know, they can sell to whoever they want. They could take as much ownership over land as they could possibly, if they have, you know, enough money to do so, they can buy as much as they want. Are you saying that without the state, people would just, you know, take over that property? And that's what I mean when I say property is theft. Do you know, like somebody?
Here's the thing. I do believe that. I mean, anybody could just inherit like a whole lot of money, but I think that in order to like maintain like a whole bunch of money, like you have to be doing something right, else
or exploiting people.
I don't know. I just feel like the whole thing is the reason why I'm struggling with this idea is because like I have like for example, back when like I worked at McDonald's or whatever, like I didn't feel as if I was being exploited per se. You know, I mean, worked my ass off for $160 a week, which is nothing. And now I look back and it's like, wow, I can't believe I did that. But it's still like voluntary. Like I could have done something else. And the majority of these, like, you know, where exploitation, and it also depends on what you're calling exploitation. Like, is working at McDonald's being exploited?
In terms of like the number of hours you worked given your labor, what they're taking from you in terms of your labor hours is that profit they generate is the value that they took from you. You know, the actual value of the labor you're producing is more than you're getting paid for. Like, you're working, that's what profit is. Profit is a form of theft of your labor.
It's a stepping stone. You're just doing that to get some experience and then move up and maybe get like, you know, a different job somewhere else where you can say, hey, I did this, you know, now I have some customer service experience, I have like money management experience or whatever. Like, if you're just a cashier at McDonald's for like 30 years and you're making min wage or whatever it is, then I don't know what to tell you, because there are other options out there. And so I don't feel like it's exploitation. I feel like, are they making like more money?
Okay. We're doing a very America-centric thing right now. Let's talk about higher levels of exploitation. Let's talk about how a lot of the companies here get a lot of their products. For example, a company like Zara's, or is it Zara? I don't know. Fucking Zayla's, whatever. This is a fucking store. They use slave labor in other countries, or pay them very little. They pay them very, very little. And in other countries, you know what I'm saying? Like, exploitation is real, though. Like, you don't think that there are people in this country who underpay their employees, where their employees feel trapped because they're afraid to, they're afraid?
In this country?
Yeah.
Like, maybe, like, yeah, like probably, like, a bunch of, like, illegal aliens and stuff, you know, probably...
Undocumented people?
Sure. Whatever term you prefer.
I mean,
as an anarchist, I would own the term illegal. I wish I were an illegal alien. I would own that. I would be...
You should look up Dr. Bones, because he's all about that.
I don't even think borders should exist. What about all the immigrants here who get exploited for their labor, and then when they're gone, you know, all the rich white people don't want to fucking work the fields that they were working. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I just don't know, like, how it isn't clear that, like, there's more than just, like, taxation being theft, because the people who are worried about their taxes be, like, getting stolen are for a lot of the time, like people who have like a lot of money and have exploited people. Do you know what I'm saying? Those are the people who are freaking out about it. And that's what confuses me so much about the libertarian stuff. Like, I understand it to a point. Let me finish.
Sorry.
What bothers me, it's like, why the libertarians are like the people who call themselves anarchists and then defend the rich. It is ridiculous. All right, go.
So I just have a hard time with calling something exploitation if they're like okay with it, you know? Like,
But that's like saying like, oh, here's this fucking cow that's been like, you're abused as fuck in this factory farm, and he doesn't know that there's any other life. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't think that people are exploited all the time? Like, you don't think that people, like, for example, like, you don't think it's still like abuse if I don't know it's abuse? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm dating somebody and they're like terrible to me and I think that's normal, that's still abuse. Do you know? I think that's even like higher level of abuse, that people would consider that like working at McDonald's and get paying like paid minimum wage to like work way harder than I ever got paid for as a stripper, where I was definitely being exploited. Do you know? They got paid a lot less for that shit. The fact that they think that that is like the highest level that they deserve at that time, I think that that's fucking like abuse to me. I think that that's really fucked up.
I don't. And I lived it. I didn't feel like exploitation to me.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to tell you that you're exploited here. So here, how about this? I am like mostly like a lesbian white lady. Right. I have a lot, like I get a lot of shit that I shouldn't. Do you know what I'm saying? Oh, just because of what I look like. That's real. Because like, I can tell you that's like from experience working in a strip club, white girls made like a lot of money there because people were racist. Do you know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
And, okay. So I don't, but a lot of other lesbian women do feel oppressed and do feel like they've been discriminated against. And that's probably true. Just because I haven't felt it doesn't mean it's not true. So I'm saying there are people who have worked, there are definitely people who have worked at McDonald's and feel very exploited. There's like, that's actually like, I've met so many people who feel exploited by their jobs in this country.
And most people just go about it just understanding that they want something better, but they realize what they got is what they got. So they just deal with it. You know, it's not that, because someone's not fucking like frowning or throwing a fit every day at work, not to mention if they did, they'd probably get fired, you know? So people maintain this like illusion of happiness when they're at their job, being like, fuck this shit. Like, you know, like just because someone's not overtly like dissatisfied doesn't mean that they're not being exploited. Like, what do you think about the whole, like, Ricardo, what do you think about the whole West Virginia strike with the teachers?
I'm sorry, I've been working like double shifts every day, two jobs. I have no idea what's going on in the world right now. What is going on in West Virginia?
There was a massive like teacher strike where all the counties went on strike to get better pay in a state where it's actually illegal to like have a union and to strike. And they did this like wildcat strike. Then the union leaders then worked out with management, told them to stop, and that like, oh, we're gonna do this fucking deal. And the teachers said fuck that, and they still went on strike. Yeah, and they've been striking for the better part of like a week and a half now. So what do you think about like teachers who are being like fucked over, like trying to like regain better wages, you know, getting more money, you know? That's something.
What do you think about unions in general? Yeah.
Like trying to get more money.
As long as they're not public?
You mean as long as they're not state funded?
Yeah.
Okay, I get down with that. So, but I'm saying, but here's my thing. Do you think that the majority of the rich people in this country got rich because they deserve to be rich? Do you think they actually worked hard enough? Do you think that maybe other people worked harder on behalf of them and then they underpaid them? That's what I'm saying. That's exploitation to me.
I think there's more to it than I can get off, like, right off the top of my head. Because, like, for example, like, you look at somebody who, like, maybe does, like, he does less, like, manual labor, but makes more money than somebody who does more manual labor. But at the same time, like, you know, one mistake from that person that doesn't do so much manual labor, like, maybe they just type numbers in the computer or whatever. But, like, you know, like, if they type, like, one wrong zero or they miss a decimal or something, that could cost, like, the company, like, a whole lot more money than, like, a mistake from somebody who's just doing, like, the manual labor. And I feel like things like that are things you have to like take into account when you're thinking about how much you know, somebody's like,
sure. If we're going to talk in a capitalist way, you can talk about who, but you know, of course, me and Peter think that's stupid, not to speak for you, Peter. But besides that, yeah, of course. But why would one be paid something? Okay, for example, to be paid minimum wage in New York is ridiculous because in New York City, because it is not really a survivable wage. Do you know what I'm saying?
Most people who get paid minimum wage, like, I feel like the majority of them, like a really high percentage, there's no way they're, like, head of household. Like, but...
But what if that was the only job they could get as a head of household? Okay, you literally just said to me, I work like two jobs, so I don't know what's going on in the news. Like, why? I'm glad you're like working hard and whatever, but why do you have like no time for yourself? Like, is that like fucked up that you like need to work that much just to survive? I think it is.
I mean, I'm not like ecstatic about it, but
yeah, exactly. Why don't you get to like enjoy your life? Don't you have, like, a family? And didn't you just have a baby? Congratulations, by the way.
Thanks.
Congratulations. I wish you had more time to spend with her.
Yeah, me too.
Do you see what I'm... sorry. I love you, Ricardo. You know, I always love you. Like, you're... I just want to improve the world, and I think you do, too. So I just, like, want to, like, go hard on it with you. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, I get it. But, see, at the same time, I'm also going to get 3 weeks paid off, you know, starting next week, to be with my baby. And it's like, I can't really complain that much. Like, I don't have it that bad. Like, yeah, it's not as great as I wish or whatever, but I just feel like a lot of it is really, like, privilege, especially when we talk about, like, you know, comparing us to, like, third world countries. Like, oh, you work at McDonald's, you feel exploited. Boo-hoo, I'm sorry I don't feel terrible for you, because I know there's people out there that have it way worse. And that's coming from someone who was working at McDonald's and making $160 a week. Like, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think there's, like, American privilege. I think that, like, most people in America don't have it as hard as people who are being exploited. I mean, not... I said most. Okay, Peter, what?
We live on the coast. You know, majority of population lives on the coast and shit. But if you look at, like, all... there's parts of this country that you could straight up call like third world America.
Like Flint,
you
know, Michigan. Like Flint, Michigan.
Yeah, shit like that. Mississippi, Missouri. There's places where like you go and like there's just...
That exists. You know, like, you're right. We only have a few minutes.
Okay.
That, you're right. That totally exists. But the point I want to make, that totally exists. Let's not discount that. But what I'm saying is, yeah, then we have people being exploited overseas. So, but yeah, all right, Ricardo. See, like, yeah, I hear what you're saying. In New York City, there's New York City privilege. There's actually something called city privilege, or like, you know, big city privilege.
Yeah.
Okay, we have like less than 2 minutes left.
We have less than 2 minutes. I'm so upset that you called in now.
That you didn't call. I just saw a post on Facebook.
I know. No, I'm not so upset. I'm actually so happy
Ricardo,
you called in.
Ricardo, we're going to get a time when both you and our friend Christian, who used to be a libertarian but now is not, and we're going to have you two debate, and that's going to be fun.
Are you okay with that? Yeah. Do you want to do that?
We'll do that sometime in the future.
But just give me like time in advance so I can do some homework, because I don't want to. I don't want to have an eruptive moment. Yeah, you know?
You're so cute. Oh, I like you. Okay, so we're gonna finish this episode. You've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. My name is Tuke Edelo. Coming up next, we got Tom Tenney. He's gonna do a Brooklyn Bandstand. It happens, 4 days a week, or is it 5 days a week now? Does somebody do Friday now, Tom?
Yes.
Okay, for 5 days a week. 5 days a week from 4 to 5 p.m. You gotta hear New York City based music. Thank you, Peter, for being on the show as usual. Yep. You can follow Peter at Solar at SOELLER Power. Solar Power at Twitter, and mine's 2KEDALOW. Peter, you got anything you want? Oh, we're ending in like a second. Just say goodbye, pretty much.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. We're going to play the rest of Wingnut Dishwashers Union. Tune in next week. We're going to have Andrews Lee from the DSA, and we're not going to let him talk about DSA. We're talking about the women's strike. All right.
To die. And she shoots dope when she thinks she could die. And the law they call.